This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. With a projected budget shortfall of $142 million in capital infrastructure projects and district needs looming, a series of toll increases on the Golden Gate Bridge is being considered by transit district officials, the first increase of any kind since 2008. The cost of crossing the Golden Gate Bridge could rise by as much as $2 over 5 years, and under the proposal, tolls would increase from $5 to $6.50 or $7 for fast-track users and from $6 to $8 for other commuters. Officials say the toll hike is needed to address the 5-year budget shortfall, and we take up the debate, which has become a debate, in this segment of the Forum program. And joining us here in studio is Dennis Mulligan, who is General Manager and CEO of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. And I should mention again, the district will hold a formal public hearing on the toll increase Wednesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. at San Rafael City Council Chambers. Welcome, Dennis Mulligan.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me today.
Glad to have you. Also, we have Suzanne Deluxe with us, a Marin-based activist who will be joining us. She's an opponent of the Golden Gate Bridge toll increase proposal. Dennis Mulligan, lay this out for us, if you could. I mean, there are a number of options that are built into what's being considered here. I guess I kind of gave a sketch of it, but do we need to add anything here?
Well, fundamentally, we're looking ahead to the future, and we're, you know, having to deal with rising costs. Many things cost more today than they did 4 or 5 years ago. And so when we look going forward to maintain our current levels of transit, as well as to have funds for capital projects to preserve the bridge, as well as our bus and ferry facilities for future generations, we'll need some additional monies.
Well, what about options other than what I mentioned? What about, for example, commuter incentives and that sort of thing? Is that under consideration as well?
There's an array of alternatives that are before us, and we encourage the public to give us their comments. They can reach out via email at tolls@goldengate.org and share with us what their thoughts are. But principally,
can you give us a quick sketch on what the other alternatives
are? Sure. The principal alternatives are to raise tolls incrementally. With all electronic tolling, we have greater flexibility. So we're looking at doing on tolls what we've been doing on the transit side for many years, which is we'll do a series of more modest annual increases as opposed to waiting 5 or 10 years and then doing a big jump. Our customers on the transit side seem to think that it's much more palatable to ease things in over time as opposed to doing a big jump all at once.
Well, I want to talk about what the expenses are up ahead and why this is necessary in addition to the shortfall that I mentioned of $142 million. But the fact of the matter is you've cut your staff, as I understand it, by about 25%. You've eliminated toll takers and ferry boat ticket agents, and there's been essentially a lot of cutting back. I mean, removal of low ridership and also Golden Gate Transit, getting people off of the buses, raising bus and ferry fees. I mean, a lot of stuff that's been characteristic of cutbacks. So why are we in such arrears here?
Well, we have growing capital needs on the bridge. The bridge is 76 years old, and we also have growing capital needs on our 40-year-old bus and ferry facilities. So we have an array of projects coming up. One of the most visible ones will be later this year. We'll install a movable median barrier on the Golden Gate Bridge. Those things cost money. We go to Washington, D.C., and we go to Sacramento to get other people's money, but we need some toll dollars to match those. Over the next 10 years, our capital costs are anticipated to be $1.4 billion, and we anticipate that we'll need about $370 million of tolls to maximize the amount of federal and state grants we can get from others.
But a lot of people are thinking $8. I mean, that's higher than any other bridge toll in the Bay Area. In fact, I think it's 100% higher than what they're paying on the Caltrans bridges.
The state bridges, the Bay Bridge has peak hour pricing, so you pay anywhere between $4 and $6 depending on when you cross that. We basically are a transit agency. We spend over half of our tolls subsidizing bus and ferry service. So in the morning commute, if you listen to the radio, people drive the speed limit in the morning on the Golden Gate Bridge. And the reason they drive the speed limit is their neighbors are on our buses and ferries subsidized with their toll dollars. We carry 25% of all trips from the North Bay into the city on our buses and ferries during commute periods. We take thousands of cars off the streets of San Francisco every day. But that takes money. We do not receive sales tax measure money or property tax measure money from San Francisco or Marin counties. So tolls are the source of our principal subsidy for bus and ferry service.
And you're going to have new buses. You're going to upgrade the ferry terminal. This is also to put more commuters onto public transportation.
Clearly, our ferry ridership is up 7% compared to a year earlier. Our regional bus service is up 3%. So the good news is more people are riding transit, which is great when you're stuck in traffic if you are driving. But there's needs there also.
There's also about $75 million more for reconstruction of Doyle Drive. I mean, you're into that, too.
That's correct. Doyle Drive is a principal approach to the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and as part of a funding package with many agencies, the Bridge District volunteered to put up $75 million to maximize and leverage federal funds to bring to the Bay Area a billion-dollar project.
And repair of the South Tower? What's that going to cost?
Rehabilitating the South Tower is about $50 million.
So there's all the money accounted for. Suzanne Deluxe is a Marin-based activist who's opposed to the Golden Gate Bridge toll increase. And Suzanne, good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
Well, your opposition comes from really what main source?
Well, I think really the debate needs to be taken back to not just what the latest toll increase is, but just whether we can justify a standalone special district. And as Dennis indicated, the Bridge District doesn't receive any sales tax or property tax revenue from San Francisco and Marin. And that, Michael, has to change. Marin has to man up and find a different way to fund public transit. That's really the crux of it.
So, in other words, you're saying that they're getting solely relying on what people pay to go across the bridge, and this just can't go on. This is not a good business model, not a good paradigm.
No, it's not at all. It's totally unsustainable. I mean, it's not the Golden Fleece Bridge. It's not the Cash Cow Bridge. And Marin County and San Francisco, the largest percentage of riders across the bridge are from those two counties. They're not ATM machines.
And you think public residents are behind you on this in large part? What have you been able to assess in that way?
I think if we could get the argument to shift from what the toll is going to be to the relevancy of the Bridge District. And, you know, honestly, as I've come to know a lot of the people that work at the bridge, because I've tracked this issue now for 25 years, Dennis, you're going to laugh if you hear me say this, but I'm beginning to feel sorry for you guys. You have to sell something to the public that is so onerous. I really think we need to put pressure on MTC for a study looking at restructuring and sunsetting the Bridge District and getting Marin County and possibly Sonoma, too, with the SMART train coming on board. That's coming to life. They project it'll be running. And now, just the other day, MTC has come up with some funding to take it to Larkspur Landing. Unless there's some sort of efficient, coherent bus feeder and shuttle system, we're a suburban community. And the train's going to fail, and we're going to be burdened with paying for that forever if we don't have a transit system that's integrated to take people to and from the SMART train.
Dennis Mulligan, you welcome the empathy you're hearing from Suzanne Deluxe.
I certainly welcome empathy from Susan.
But the fact of the matter is, you kind of indicated you're maybe just too dependent on one source. Why not maybe Caltrans should run the bridge?
You know, people have discussed that in the past, but you know, people have decided that they felt that it's best to have local control. The Bridge District represents the six counties that came together in the 1920s in the midst of the Great Depression, and they bet the farm. They voted to put their homes, vineyards, and farms up as guarantees for the bonds to build the bridge.
But, you know, Michael and Dennis, we don't have local control. It's a 19-member appointed board, it's four from Marin, nine from San Francisco. And historically, the only time the four Marin bridge directors have ever voted against a toll increase was in 1991, when the public was able to bear enough pressure that they realized politically it would be foolhardy to not support the public and vote against a toll increase.
Do you think, though, Susan, that you're kind of maybe being browbeaten into making sure that people aren't driving as much and they're going to use the ferries and buses and all this?
Well, you know, it's all well and good, and I certainly support public transit to try to, you know, whatever, control people to get out of their cars, but it doesn't work in Marin. Where I live in Tiburon, I'm 3 miles away from the nearest bus stop. Can you imagine the trek it would take me to get somewhere, to walk 3 miles first to catch a bus, then to take perhaps a ferry, a train at the other end of my drive? We need a Google-type jitney service, really, in Marin County to get people to buses, to the train, to the ferry, to wherever they're going.
The traffic volume has been kind of flat, though, hasn't it, Dennis?
Bridge traffic is flat, but transit ridership is up. So there's more people going into San Francisco, but there's a greater share of them on our buses and ferries. Our bus and ferry service is both growing.
Well, let's find out what our listeners have to say about this. Obviously, it affects people more in Marin County, but those of you who travel across the Golden Gate Bridge may have some strong sentiments one way or another that you'd like to air here or ventilate, and you are welcome to join us with any questions or comments you have. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone call, so feel free to join us. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, as Golden Gate Bridge officials consider a toll hike, and the crossing could rise as much as $2 over 5 years under a series of toll increases that are being considered by transit district officials. Where do you weigh in on this? Dennis Mulligan with us as general manager and CEO of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, and Susan Deluxe is a Marin-based activist and opponent of the Golden Gate Bridge toll increase proposal. And again, we welcome your calls and emails. You can also post any questions or comments you might have immediately onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Here's a question from a listener, Dennis Mulligan, who says, what percentage of the Golden Gate Bridge budget pays for public transits, for example, bus operations in Marin County? While it makes sense to subsidize public transit with bridge tools, I get the impression that Marin County residents refuse to pony up enough funds in sales and property taxes to adequately fund public transportation. So they put too much of the burden on drivers who pay bridge tolls.
The regional bus and ferry service is subsidized with bridge tolls. But several years ago, Marin County residents voted to tax themselves for transportation, and that money goes to pay for a local bus service within Marin. Much of that we provide under contract with the Marin County Transit District. But for regional bus and ferry service, that is, you know, tolls are the principal funding source for that.
But Susan Deluxe, you'd like to see maybe some sales tax or property tax in the mix here?
Absolutely. It's just more equitable. We can no longer sustain all the financial needs of the Golden Gate Bridge and bus and ferry service in Marin County. So absolutely. AC Transit, for instance, Michael, property tax is their biggest source of funding. 29% of their budget comes from property tax. County sales tax contributes 8%, the fare box another 17%. So it's not rocket science. This is how other communities do it, and we need to do it too.
Another question from a listener online, Dennis Mulligan. Frank writes, what will the increased fee actually buy for the public? If it will get us better safety, that is worthwhile. But will the fee increase not also decrease traffic? And if so, will there really be a net profit increase? And also, how about a fee increase that is tied to a specific sought-after goal, such as extending BART finally to Marin County?
I'll deal with the BART issue first, actually. Folks in Marin County voted not to opt into the BART system many, many decades ago, almost a generation ago. So Marin County doesn't really have the density of land use to support a BART system. Going back to, raising tolls, what are some of the options? The folks feel that if they raise tolls, they want something in return. Well, there'll be some visible things. We'll be able to continue to maintain bus and ferry service, taking thousands of cars off the streets of San Francisco every day. And we'll be able to continue to fund capital projects. The most visible will be later this year when we install a movable median barrier on the Golden Gate Bridge. We have a whole array of projects. We have to replace the ramps and gangways at our ferry facilities to speed up boarding and to make the ramps flatter so it's easier for people that have struggled getting on and off the boats because of the steepness of it.
Let me go to your calls. And by the way, you can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786. Here's Frank from Mill Valley. Good morning.
Good morning. I may have missed part of this while I was going through the filter of my what's my question, but I was interested in the opponent. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but detailing where she thinks the actual cash will come from as an alternative to just getting the rider's tax. I think I heard pieces of other counties putting in property taxes. So what percentage would have to shift before you would feel that the structure you want to see is in place?
Susan Deluxe, any notion of what kind of percentage you're talking about with property or sales tax?
Well, I'd like to see MTC really study this issue. I think that's where it needs to land, is have them do a serious study to see what it would take to restructure the bridge district, whether Caltrans runs the bridge. I mean, the bridge makes money, or whether it remains a standalone special district, if that still makes sense. But we need to really look at another way of funding transit. That really is the crux of it. I mean, Marin has been trying to reform and get rid of the Golden Gate Bridge District since 1988, when we passed an advisory ordinance calling for a toll increase moratorium until the 19-member board was at least appointed. That passed by 72%. Our Marin IJ did a recent poll. 92% of the public didn't think a toll increase was justified. So I think the Bridge District is kind of depending on Marin County's apathy and the new phrase, unfortunately, the tragedy that coined it, but our affluenza, that people are just going to dig deeper in their pockets and not really get to the crux of the issue, Michael. I mean, we really need to shift the conversation and the debate to restructuring, sunsetting, reorganizing, whatever word you want to use, the Golden Gate Bridge District. It's just not relevant anymore, and it's become an obstacle. Ironically, it was built to promote commerce, and now it's actually impeding it.
Well, what about that, let me thank the caller, what about that 92% poll from the Independent Journal, Dennis Mulligan? That's not necessarily heartening in terms of raising.
The percentage sounds impressive. The actual number of people that voted in the poll was quite modest, to be kind. So sometimes online polls are not representative or indicative of the broader community. So there were not a lot of folks that weighed in. We want people to weigh in this issue. We want to hear from folks. That's why we encourage people to send us their comments at tolls@goldengate.org or show up at the public hearing that we have on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at San Rafael City Hall.
Well, we're getting a lot of comments. Here's John who writes, the salaries of management are a bit outrageous if you look at the publicly available database. What is the deputy GM of the bridge doing making $176,000 a year? Deputy GM of the bus division makes $323,000 a year. A paint superintendent makes $118,000.
Those salaries for the $350,000 included someone who retired and had a payout of vacation, which is no longer allowed unfettered. We now cap everyone at a certain number of hours, so that won't happen ever again. We have all our salaries available. If you attend the open houses or the public hearing, we have a board that has my salary and the top five salaries for the district in plain sight of the public because we want to be transparent. We want people to know where the dollars are spent. We've taken a variety of steps to reduce the costs of staff, both those staff that are still here through changes in medical coverage, contributions from employees, employees paying part of their pension, but also reduce the number of employees. Like you stated, Michael, we have 25% fewer employees today than we had a decade ago.
Now, Susan, you wanted in here. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes. Oh, thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. One point I'd like to make is that just the cost of maintaining the 19-member appointed board, they're supported by the district secretary's office, which has a staff of five, and their annual budget is $475,000. The director's fees last year and this year are projected to be $26,200. That's their $50 per meeting stipend. And their expenses last year cost us almost $43,000. You add that all up and you get almost $534,000 a year to maintain the Golden Gate Bridge Board.
Well, one misconception there. The district secretary office, a staff of five, doesn't just maintain the board. They're involved in our procurement processes and other things. They have a variety of other duties. With respect to the board compensation, thank you, for Susan, for highlighting that they do receive $50 per meeting day because some folks think that they're grossly overpaid. We do have a 19-member board, and the cost for travel for them to come to board meetings, we pay their mileage, we'll reimburse their tolls, and we send a couple of them to conferences last year as well as to Washington, D.C. to get us money to pay for some of these projects. Was $40,000 for the 19-member board.
Getting a number of comments which say, what about something like a nominal fee for a dollar for people who walk or bike across a bridge? Has that been considered?
Currently, we're in the midst of a toll increase process that's a public outreach process where we have a variety of options on the table. The board will have the ability to choose any proposal within that ambit of proposals. However, when they put forth the proposals, they did not include a sidewalk toll. So at this juncture, they could not approve a sidewalk toll as part of the toll increase. That having been said, they have the discretion to impose a sidewalk toll. There was turnstiles up until 1971 where people dropped a dime in to get on the bridge. If the board wanted to, it could decide to go through a similar public outreach process like we're going through right now for the roadway tolls to have a sidewalk toll. Based on previous times it's come up, I anticipated there'd be rather spirited debate. Unlike the 1970s today, the sidewalks are heavily used. We have about 10,000 pedestrians a summer day and about 6,000 bicycles cross the bridge each day.
Here's Morgan. Morgan from Oakland. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering what the Bridge District relationship is with Muni and if they're involved in any of the conversations with Google and the big corporations that are using the bus stops that Golden Gate Transit uses as well.
Yes, we have a very very active and friendly relationship with SFMTA, which is Muni. And Muni approves all of our bus stops in San Francisco. We coordinate with them on transfer policies. Muni is looking at doing a bus rabbit transit line up Van Ness Avenue, and we would benefit from that. So we worked very closely with them on the design of that. We do work with Muni as well as other private operators on getting people to work. So there's some private shuttles that coordinate pickup times with our buses coming from the North Bay to get people to work. work. Our job is to help get people out of their cars and to manage congestion in the quarter, so we work with all agencies to achieve those ends.
And Morgan, thank you for your question. I want to read some listener comments. Aaron writes, the Golden Gate Bridge toll is a regressive tax, essentially. Is there a way to make the tolls tied to a more progressive taxation system? Would property taxes be more progressive? How would measures to fund Golden Gate Transit actually be brought before voters? And another listener, Richard, says, getting in and out of the city from Marin during non-commuter hours is nigh impossible, Increasing toll adds insult to injury to low-income Marin residents. How can we improve public transit to and from San Francisco during the day? We get a sense of what listeners are asking here, and they're pretty tough and I think, penetrating questions. And a comment on our Facebook page from a listener named Massimo, who says, interesting that they increase the bottom line through automation and still seek a toll hike. And an online comment, I commute by bicycle over the Golden Gate Bridge and would be honored to pay a modest toll of a dollar or two to do so. The Golden Gate Bridge deserves respect and upkeep. It's not just an essential bridge, but a reminder of the once heroic public works this country used to invest in. Show me something, anything, on that level of imagination and daring being built now. We'll go to more of your calls. We go to a Marin resident. Brian, you're on.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you. I want to, those are very interesting listener comments. I want to just make the comment that, you know, as someone who's relatively new living in Marin and trying to figure out their commute into the city where I work, there's recently been some significant increases in the cost of going out of the terminal out of Larkspur. So there's the ferry terminal, that is, where just as of February 1st, it's now $2 per day to park there, as well as the recent increases on the fare. And so I'm feeling really stuck in terms of, like, you know, which way to go and which way to choose. If I didn't use a Clipper card on the ferry alone, it would cost upwards of $420 a month. So I'm just wondering, as someone who is a relatively new resident of Marin, and also, you know, not a Florida resident of Marin, of having to work in the city, it seems like when there's new costs and new things that have to be accounted for by Golden Gate Transit System, there's also should be the consideration of the you know, the residents who also have to deal with a lot of new costs, and the cost of living in the Bay Area being tremendous as it is, you know, food, et cetera, and then having to deal with these expensive charges for commuting. You know, although the bridge is a wonderful thing and the transit system is a wonderful thing, I think these expenses always going to the commuter for picking up a cab seems like it's a little bit overdone.
Thanks for riding our ferry boats. I'm glad you use Clipper so you don't pay $400 a month. We offer a great discount for folks that use the Clipper, the Bay Area Transit Media Card. And we did just impose a parking fee at Larkspur. If you're a regular rider, it's $20 a month. If it's a daily fee, you pay $2. And we have no people or no machines involved in that. It's all in the cloud.
You trying to keep pace with inflation here? Is that part of the equation?
That is part of the equation. I mean, we spend millions of dollars in diesel fuel every year. It costs a little bit more today than it did in 2008. So, you know, costs have incrementally gone up. We've done a lot of belt tightening. But our biggest need is actually increased capital projects. As we look out and our facilities age, we need to spend more money on them to preserve them for future generations.
And let me get another caller on here, and that's Lenny calling us from the South Bay. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing? One thing I wanted to bring up is, as you talked about these capital projects, as being a resident of California now for about 12 years and driving around here, looking at all the bridge tolls in general, and this month of Golden Gate, it's relatively inexpensive in regards to what it looks like if you go back and look at, like, New York or the area in general, where you're paying upwards of $7 each way to cross one bridge to go into one borough or another. And if you want to go into Manhattan from, say, Westchester through Queens, you're going to pay almost $14 just to get there.
Yeah, I think all those people paying when they were caught in that traffic that is being blamed on Chris Christie.
Yeah, exactly. That too, exactly. And so ideally what we're looking at here is very nominal, and what we pay here in transit is really nominal, what we do. And with all the issues we do have on our roads and capital we do need to keep it up, we really shouldn't be complaining too much about how much we're paying to go across. And that's kind of where we should stand as an organization, as a state, and be putting our fair share into what we're paying to keep this going.
Well, Lenny, thanks for your thoughts. Susan Deluxe, what do you say to what you heard Lenny say?
Oh, thank you. Well, with all due respect to your caller, I think the more accurate comparison would be between the 7 state-run Bay Area bridges versus the Golden Gate. Again, the overarching point is that the bridge is not sustainable, the financial model is broken, and it's become a financial liability. I mean, we love it. It's our West Coast equivalent of the Statue of Liberty, but it's an aging icon, the seismic safety risks, a possible terrorist target. We need the resources of the entire state behind the Golden Gate Bridge. bridge. It's capital projects, not six counties, the six counties at risk building the bridge, and we honor them forever for having done that. But six counties can't afford to maintain all the financial needs of the Golden Gate Bridge and fund public transit. I mean, can you imagine people in the East Bay if they had to pay to rebuild the eastern span of the Bay Bridge as well as subsidize BART and AC Transit? Would people stand for that? So this has to change. And the place to apply the pressure, it's not really, folks, the Bridge District. It's your state elected officials in the Assembly and the Senate, many of which have been former bridge directors, because the only two ways we'll be able to restructure the Golden Gate Bridge District is either through an amendment regarding their charter, which actually was amended in 1970. That's how they got into the bus and ferry business when they saw their little kingdom was coming to an end, and they just didn't want to let go. So the bonds were paid for. We needed transit in Marin. So maybe back then it did make sense once upon a time to fund public transit this way, but it doesn't any longer. Every 4 or 5 years, the Bridge District runs up another massive deficit, on top of which now they're talking about these incremental cost of living increases. And because there aren't toll takers anymore and the money is collected electronically, they can make the toll whatever they want, whenever they want. So, I mean, the toll increase, it didn't fix the deficits in 1989, 1991, didn't fix it in 2001, 2008, won't fix it in 2014, 2018, and beyond. The problem is the underlying financial structure of the Golden Gate Bridge District.
Yeah, response from you, Dennis Mulligan?
We have a very financially sustainable model. Costs do go up over time. We're more like a utility. Our rates are flat until we do our rate increase. And so we are proposing a rate increase. We're reaching out to the public. We want to hear your thoughts and comments on these proposals. But we do have choices. And in lieu of raising our rates, we could drastically curtail the amount of bus and ferry service we offer. But that would have a negative impact on the quality of life in the community.
Well, again, the hearing will be this Wednesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. at the San Rafael City Council Chambers. I want to just conclude here with a couple of comments, one from each side. On our Facebook page, Michael writes, "I live in San Francisco and support the toll hike. A user pay model is the most equitable, and from a policy perspective, raising prices is a proven way to shift behavior, that is, cars to public transportation." On the other side is Kelly, who writes online, "Golden Gate Transit has become less and less about buses and more about subsidizing other programs and salaries. Buses should cost less than driving and should be easier than driving and run all the time. However, it costs more than and takes way more time than driving. In the real world, people have more than one job, and this transit system is stuck in the old 9-to-5 model of scheduling. Can't use it. Marin residents are just looked at as the cash cow of the Bay Area. Have the state take over the process and get the transit district out of this toll increase? No." Okay, there you heard both sides, and we have heard both sides, and I want to thank those representing both sides. Dennis Mulligan here in studio with us again as General Manager, CEO of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. Thank you for being with us, Dennis.
Thank you, Michael.
Susan Deluxe joined us by phone. She's a Marin-based activist and opponent of the Golden Gate Bridge toll increase proposal. Thank you for joining us, Susan Deluxe.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, our listeners. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and an hour is repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. You can continue this discussion online by going to kqed.org/forum. We're going to go to another hour with famed novelist Roddy Doyle, who joins us up ahead, has a new novel out called The Guts. Many of you remember, hope you remember, The Commitments, based on his novel. Really a splendid movie. We'll have an interview with him when we return. Stay tuned. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.